Welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, April the 12th, 2025. It is Season 19, Episode 12 for the 12th. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome in to the show. Say hello to Dave. He is watching live. He doesn't normally get to watch live, but he's watching live today. So, hey, Dave. Enjoy your day off. You know what? More than that, I appreciate that on your day off, you were spending some of it listening to this show live. That's, you're a true friend, my friend. Spending your day off doing that.
Very much appreciated.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, great guy there, Dave. Let me get this, you know, not the familiarities, what do we call it?
Intro.
The thing, the formalities out of the way, not the familiarities, the formalities. Let me get the formalities out of the way. Look at that. I have to think to be smart now. If you would like to get in touch with us, then use Discord or send me a text like Dave does. I'm not going to give you my number, but send me a text like Dave does. Check out InGameChat.net, InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. Just go there. Go to the bottom of the page, and you'll be able to find us. Live while we broadcast, you'll be able to find all the links to get in touch with us, whether it be email, everyone at ingamechat.net, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Blue Sky, the Discord. We have Discord as well. Twitch, which we're on right now. Go to twitch.tv, type in in-game chat in the search bar up there, and there you go. You got it. So you'll be able to find us. Watch the show live while we broadcast. Interact with us. Well, you know, I should probably unmute the Discord, which I've done. That way they can hear what I'm saying in Discord. So, yeah. There we are. Welcome into the show. In some other alternate timeline, we would be talking about whether or not I got in my Switch 2 pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about, did you get your pre-order in, or what did you end up getting? Did you get the bundle with World, or did you get the Switch 2 by itself, or what's the... And we wouldn't be having the conversation of $80 games, or the conversations that we're going to have here. Although, honestly, I don't really know where to talk. I've got a whole section that deals with not just the Switch 2 and the tariff situation with it, but the tariff situation in gaming is in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had mentioned tabletop gaming
is
going to suffer from this. I think it is. I don't know anymore. Whether it be the plan of the administration to confuse us, or I don't know what's tariffed anymore. It's switched so many times now. I have no idea. I read an article the other day, and I have no idea on the validity of this article, or it seemed to be valid, but that, like, the Port Authority had not been taking the tariffs that had been coming in. They hadn't been doing any of it. Nothing was being tariffed.
Mm-hmm.
Even though tariffs were issued, nothing was being done. I had read something about that. I read that today he put a exemption on chips, phones, and like some other technical thing, where retaliatory tariffs do not extend to those three things. And I can't, maybe it was laptops or something. I can't remember. It was some other kind of computing thing. And a whole lot of forums were like, ooh, does this mean the Switch is safe now? And it's like, nope. When you're reading into it, and people did, especially people who are interested in the video game side of things, people reading into it found out that, no, consoles do not fall under this.
Mm-hmm.
So the consoles are still going to have to deal with tariff situations. I say consoles, whenever that happens to release. Currently, the stock of PlayStations and Xboxes here and Switches in that regard here in the States are quite good, you know? Even if these things get implemented again and stay implemented for something longer than a week, then you're still going to be okay. The stock of the stores have so much stock of the three. It's all here in the States.
Yeah.
Their stock is good here in the States. It'll be a while before you see, if that continues on, it would be a while before you see the increase in price for those. Problem is, the Switch 2 has not been shipped yet. The Switch 2 has not even been allowed to be pre-ordered yet. There are some companies, or some overseas companies, like Germany, I think, did some pre-orders, and some other places did pre-orders for those regions.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing has been done. Not only they blocked it here in the States, Nintendo pulled pre-order dates. They also halted pre-orders in Canada as well for the Switch 2. So I don't know. The release date has not changed. It's still June 5th. But we have not heard a word yet on what the pre-order situation is going to be. And by that, and I understand, it's like, okay, well then just, I'm not going to pre-orders kind of help, especially on a new console launch.
Mm-hmm.
They really kind of help with stock and with kind of knowing, you know, what you're going to be able to get into. You know, are you going to be able to get one? Are you not? What's the case going to be? I understand that, where it could be a sense of, well, I guess I'm just not going to pre-order. I'll walk in day one. Videotape that, please. Get your phone out and tape that. I want to see that. I'm really curious as to how that's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It may be something like that. It may be where we can't pre-order it. It may be a situation where, listen, it's too late for us to initiate pre-orders. You know?
I was just about to ask you, how long could they wait before it's too late to make a pre-order?
I don't know. I I've never worked in that kind of retail to know what the situation would be. You know, it's weird because you can walk into a video game store the day before a game releases and pre-order, I'm using air quotes,
mm-hmm.
pre-order a video game, and then come in the next day and pick up your game.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that you're not late on that stock, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that was the days when if you're talking about a place like GameStop, that was when they were getting a bunch of stock in and had excess.
Yeah.
Now lately,
they don't have excess.
They don't have excess.
They
order
exactly
the amount that they got on pre-order, and there is no stores.
Yeah. And to be more clear about what I was saying, even if you do go in there the day before game releases and put a pre-order down, they'll still take your money. But because, because there's a list of like, well, you came in at this point in time and this is all we have. So when the next shipment comes, you'll get the call saying your game's here and ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was one of those situations. But we don't necessarily like those situations. We may have to go through them again, but I don't know. And so, yeah, I had a whole thing planned as far as all these articles about the tariffs and everything else. But honestly, I don't even know the situation anymore. I feel like Monday is going to be a completely different story again as to whether there are tariffs or no tariffs. I don't know. It is really confusing. And it's hard to keep up with.
Yeah.
Because the exemption on the chips and the phones and things, that came about, I think, this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Monday through Friday, I'm pretty good on keeping up with what's going on news-wise, but over the weekend, I kind of zone out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really paid too much attention to it.
I saw in the chat room where Lethal Migrant said, why Canada? I'm just guessing, what, North America?
Yeah, you know, I don't know why Canada, to be honest with you. I don't necessarily know if... Look, I understand that Canada has its own shipping ports and everything else. That, you know, mm-hmm. when things come in, that's the case. I also don't doubt that Canadian products come into the U.S. here and then go across the border, shipped from here into Canada. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, look, this shipment is going into Seattle, but half of this shipment is designated for, you know, Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So take it over there to do. I don't know. I just know that Canada was also on the list of like, yeah, we're gonna delay Canada's pre-orders as well. So, yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Oh, hey, chat room. I didn't have that open. I had the opening there. Bama Bryan says, "Hey, Dave. Thanks that I looked at this because I need to do this. Although I don't think anybody told me to do the thing. Oh yeah, Bama Bryan did. Always. Let me put this." Somewhere where it's on camera. Camera's kind of over a little bit. Here we go. So,
yeah. Anyway. Yeah, Thor says in chat room as well, it says, yep, Buffalo and Toronto is really close to each other. And yeah, it is. Like when the Bills play, a lot of folks from Canada come down and mm-hmm. see the game as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I don't necessarily know if that's something where, you know, the shipment comes in and then it's got to go across border and then you got to deal with tariffs or something. I don't know. First off, I'm not an economics person.
Yeah. Maybe it's just a preemptory, just in case.
Yeah.
It's something someone does try we were discussing.
Exactly. So I really, really don't know. But I'll, you know, just to read you the tariffs headlines was, and the tabletop industry, I think, is still a thing to think about. But it says, tabletop industry in full panic as Trump tariffs are poised to erase decades of growth. That was one article. Trump tariffs will have a real and detrimental impact on the games industry, says a U.S. trade group. Another article was how Trump's tariffs could affect the Switch 2 and the rest of the games industry. Although at this time, you know, that one we could look at. I don't know if that's an old one or... because honestly, I'll tell you, last week when I was doing the news, I kind of jumped over some news because I knew the dominating topic would be the Switch 2. So going back and gathering these articles, I was going back into previous stuff that I didn't use, and I don't know. In fact, this is when. Oh, this. What's the date on this one? Is there a date? Yeah, this was April 4th. So, yeah. Yeah, this was the 4th, and it was talking about the update is that they've delayed the Switch 2 pre-orders. For the U.S. So, I mean, it's kind of outdated considering everything that's happened since then. But, yeah, I think it's, you know, depending on how it goes, could get very bad for gamers. This is another one that was older. This was for last weekend. It says, following a weekend of tariff tension, Japanese video game industry sees stock price tumble. Sony, Nintendo, Capcom, and more impacted by the stock price tumble. It did. It went down, came back up, went down, came back up, which is what the stock market does. More tariff chaos. Donald Trump pauses tariffs for most countries at the last minute, but jacks them up to 125% against China, which is effective immediately. That was from PC Gamer. See, the 125% against China, yeah, that's a big deal. However, they now have that thing in place where the chips and the phones and the things are not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily know. While it doesn't count for consoles, for PC parts, I'm not sure. I don't know if it makes any difference on PC parts. Mm. Which is another thing, because consoles have PC parts
in them.
Yeah, exactly. And if those are not... under, and it's just too, it's, I don't know. If those are under the exemption, then I would say, oh, consoles get a pass, but consoles do not get a pass.
Mm-mm.
So, and I don't think it's because of what's in them. I think consoles are classified as something completely different than what these exemptions have been for.
Yeah.
So while they may be fine on the parts, it doesn't matter what's inside of them. They got those at a base rate or whatever the case may be, a non-tariffed rate, and can build the machine with them. But once the machine is a whole, it becomes a different product, which is then under, which is then falls under a tariff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just far too confusing to go through. Although there is one in here that I should have thrown in the Switch 2 category, which was the head of Nintendo Old Doug Bowser. I know, right? Yeah.
Fitting.
In fact, let me read it to you. This comes from an article in Kotaku. And Nintendo of America president Doug Bowser told The Verge, put the April 2nd announcement aside. Not the tariffs announcement, but the announcement of the Switch 2. And the price. Said, put that aside. Any previous tariffs were not factored into the price itself. So what he's saying in that was that the $400 and the $450 and the $80 games were not what they were because they were worried about tariffs. Because at the time they released those prices, they didn't know they were going to get tariffed. I mean, they knew tariffs were coming at the... Because the same day is when the tariff announcement came. The same day they announced the Switch 2 is the same day they got tariff announcements. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what it was going to be. They had no idea what the tariff situation was going to end up being. But that was their price. And a lot of people speculated, I think we did too, was like, is that the tariff? Is the 400 and the 450, was that because, you know, we expect tariffs, so let's just put it at this price. Mm-hmm. They didn't. They didn't price it because they were expecting tariffs to happen. According to Doug Bowser. Mm. Just sounds like a, I don't know, a character name in some weird movie or something, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. Doug Bowser. He defended the Switch 2's existing $450 price tag by pointing to its bigger, newer LCD screen, stronger GPU, better Joy-Cons, and new features like Game Chat. They're calling it Game Chat. Mm-hmm. If they had called it in-game chat, do you realize the amount of hits our site would have gotten?
We'd take them.
Oh, boy. Well, we also might have gotten something like, hey, man, we need to use your name. I don't know if our name's trademarked or not. But in a sense, you know, yeah, they're real close. Mm-hmm. Anyway, new features like game chat, a Discord-like voice and video chat option gated behind a Switch Online subscription. Doug went on to say, we want to make sure that this is a device that is approachable, that consumers will see as part of their overall entertainment experiences and will understand that it has longevity to it. And all of those factors really go into the consideration of the price. This is corpo speak all over. All right. He did hint at something interesting, which is that existing Switch models are part of the calculus. The 2017 edition has still never gotten a price drop and remains $300. The Switch OLED is even more at $350. If Nintendo continues selling them, it's not shocking that the Switch 2, a generational leap, would be $100 more. Bowser said, you want to consider pricing relative to the Switch since we still have that in distribution. Mario Kart World's $80 price tag is arguably what's been upsetting fans even more and leading them to spam Nintendo Treehouse Live demos of the game on YouTube with wall-to-wall drop-the-price comments. Bowser confirmed to the Washington Post it's not the new benchmark for Switch 2 games and the company will continue exploring variable pricing. But why make Mario Kart World the canary in the $80 mine right at launch? He said, we just look at what is the experience and what's the content and what's the value. That was somebody, Nintendo of America's VP of Product and Player Experience. He also suggested that there are tons of new details about the game that have not been revealed yet that will win fans over. Mario Kart World, I think especially as you see from the Nintendo Direct, not to give you any hints or anything, but I did read your article this morning and I think you had mentioned that you didn't find a lot to discover when roaming around. So I would say tune in to our Mario Kart Direct to see what maybe you'll be able to find about that. I guess to see what he missed. Referring to a deeper dive in the game scheduled for April 17th. They're doing a Mario Kart Direct for April 17th. What else do we have? That welcome tour, that little demo thing that you can play to kind of learn the new features of the Switch 2. Mm-hmm. It'll cost $10 to download it. It's digital only. Why not a pack-in for the sport like, or a pack-in for the console like Wii Sports? Just the amount of care and work that the team put into it. I think it was decided that $10 is not an exorbitant price. It feels like a good value for what you're getting out of the product. I'm sorry, Wii Sports had a bunch of different sports titles in it. I mean, a bunch. which most people play, especially with the bowling.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people got it, and that's all they had. They bought the Wii game. It came with Wii Sports, I think. And that's all they had for a good while.
Mm-hmm.
Until the shine of bowling and tennis and everything else that they had done wore off and was like, let me get the next big thing for the Wii U or the Wii, whatever that might have been at the time, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There was also, and I don't know if this article is going to cover it, and I didn't pick it up, but there was either a book or somebody pointed to Reggie Fils-Aimé, who was the old, Doug Bowser guy.
Yeah.
In charge of Nintendo.
Former president, yeah.
Yeah, former president of Nintendo. And apparently he pushed real hard to get that Wii Sports packed into the, in with the console. Apparently it wasn't going to be that way. But he pushed really hard to make that happen. To give people a pack-in game.
Put a free pack-in.
Yeah. For, especially for a, kind of a brand new, I mean, it is a new console, but it was also a, it was brand new in so many other ways than just being a new console, just mm-hmm. for the fact of just how big that became.
Yeah.
Like everybody getting a Wii and playing the Wii and everything else. It was a massive cultural thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I challenge you that it may not have been that had that game not been packed into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Reminds me of that chapter in Console Wars where Tom Kalinske was talking about packing Sonic in with the Genesis. Because you remember back in the day, it used to be the console, two controllers, and a game.
And a game.
That came in when the first consoles were coming out.
Right.
Then it was like console, one controller, and a game. Then it was like console and controller.
It was just console. That was it.
Yeah, and then it was just from that point on.
You got a console and a controller, and that is all.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
And for extra fee, you might get a game in there as a bundle mm-hmm. of something else. But now, not even the tech demo is comes with it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
All right, this isn't the one where... Apparently, it's not here. Doug Bowser also went and said something else that I didn't mark it down. I didn't save it for use. It reminded me, and those of you who may remember, but it reminded me of, is it Dan Matrick or Don Matrick?
Was it Dave Matrick?
Was it Dave? I don't think it was Dave.
No, it wasn't Dave? Okay.
No.
So, what was it?
It was either Dan or Don. He was the old head of, before Phil Spencer took over, he was mm-hmm. the old, he was the old guy for Xbox.
Yeah, maybe Don.
I think he works at Zynga now.
Hmm.
Zynga? I don't know. Don Matrick is
Don
what
Matrick,
leads. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Don Matrick was the guy that said, you know, if people can't afford an Xbox 360, they can just get an Xbox or something like that. It was something mm-hmm. to that effect. I can't remember.
Something tone deaf.
It was very tone deaf. Well, old Doug Bowser did the same thing.
Yeah.
If the price of the Switch 2 is too high for you, well, we have the Switch. You can buy the Switch. If the Switch 2 is just too out of your price range, well, there's also the Switch.
So it's Don Matrick all over.
I know, right? Yeah.
It's literally the same. It's
that he
same
couldn't
thing.
He couldn't look back at that and say, "Eh, maybe that's not the way to go with what I'm about to say." So, yeah. Oh no! Why did I close Twitch? I'm sorry. I just closed Twitch.
Hmm.
I'm going back. I thought it, man. Stream manager, just so I can get back in the chat room and see everybody's kind of, there we go. All right, back in the chat room. Cool. We need to take a break right here, and I also realized we never went over the games that we've been playing, so when we come back, we'll hit our gameplay and stuff, and then we'll get into more news. There was news today as far as Bungie. They showed off first gameplay stuff of Marathon, their new game. I've watched it, but I really haven't looked at, like, much else. I've tried to read some kind of previews for it, because it happened at noon or so. So I haven't really been able to get into a lot of what it does, but yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about that. We got a bunch of other stuff here to talk about as well. Right now, we're going into a break. Our first song for today is the main theme from a game I am likely to never play. It is a horror. It's a unsettling horror type game about zoo animals.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's called Zoocosis.
Yeah, I think it's the one where
the aliens look like
the animals are mutating.
Yes,
in front of your eyes. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
the whatever's gotten control of the animals, they look like your animals, but like you can, I think if you use some kind of viewer thing or whatever, you can see how they're different and they're all kind of grotesque and whatever else. So it's like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need scary giraffes. I'm fine. I don't. Anyway, it's the main theme from that. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. This is better music for Zoocosis, but it's not Zoocosis. This is music for a game called Shadows of Doubt. And I really like it. I think I have it.
One of those bundle purchases you made?
That or it was a... Well, you know what? It may have been. It may have been. That or one of those, you know, key stores that I... often look at. It's like a pixelated, it's a pixel voxel detective story thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I was looking at the looking up a description right quick. An immersive sandbox detective stealth game set in a fully simulated sci-fi noir city of crime and corruption. Think like a private investigator and take on jobs to earn cash on your path to catching a serial killer. If you don't catch him, they will kill again. So far, it's got mixed reviews. Mixed reviews, but amongst all reviews, it says very positive.
Yeah,
came out late September of 2024.
Okay, yeah. Shadows of Doubt. Anyway, welcome back into the show. We did not go over what we played, so RJ, what have you been playing?
Pretty much more of the same. I've been playing MLB The Show. I finished a season in the franchise mode of the game, and I'm going to the next year.
Okay.
Following on, so a whole bunch of players are just...
Is it a team you put together, or did you pick a...
Picked a team and went right from the start, and then the next year...
What team did you pick?
Marlins.
Okay.
Marlins, and then after the year was over, all the teams, you know, free agency, everybody's...
I was about to ask, did you do any trades? Did you do any...
I didn't do any trades. I put that on auto, but the other teams did.
And, oh, you did auto on that, huh?
Yeah, so a whole bunch of other teams was just moving players around and everything, so nothing is the same. Everything is completely different in the following year. So just start from there and see how the mix and match goes from there. More Virtua Fighter and more of the First Ascent. I'm still trying to grind out currency and mods and weapons and things of that nature, and trying to build up the level of the characters that I've had so far. So far, I've got 8, and now I've got to buy more slots to pick them up because I think you get like 10, and I'm pretty much on the way of getting a couple more in my roster. So, yeah.
And that was it? Anything
yep,
else?
Three, yep, those three.
Cool. For me, it's been Marvel Snap, of course. I play that pretty much every day. Really fun game. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you like it, it can be fun. What else? Avowed. I put in a lot of good time with Avowed. That game. I don't know what's going to happen with me in that game, but there's going to come a point where I have a decision to play Avowed or play something else or something like that, and it's going to... I'm worried that Avowed's going to drop off my list. Not because it's not keeping me entertained. It's just there's so much to do. So much to explore. And I'm only in the second land of, I think there's five areas, and I'm only in the second area, and, man... I'm not saying it's a slog, because trust me, the time that I put into it, I've been doing stuff, you know, side quests galore. I mean, I've been doing it, been finding things, been figuring things out, been, I mean, it's not that I've been bored.
Yeah, it's like a classic Fallout. The main, you got the main, mission, but you got a whole bunch of side missions that'll, that'll keep you occupied as well.
Never mind, Thar 6 says there's four areas, I thought there were five, which means I'm almost halfway through. Of the areas. I could, I mean, I get it, Thar. I could streamline, you know, just like hit the main story. But I just feel like a world that's been built so far, especially the world that I had fun with in the first area, to know that there are three more areas just like it, sure. But the more I play it, the more I realize I really only get about one good day a week to put time in on that game. And it's not that I'm, forgetting how to play it. It's just that sometimes I want to play something else on my one good day a week that I have time to play that game, you know? Like this morning, I put in maybe 15 minutes on Assassin's Creed Mirage. I wish I could have been more, but I only put about 15 minutes of that. So yeah, it's slow going. Like I said, Thar, I might streamline a little bit. I did read a tip that is something that I had not been doing because I am so much of a finish your side quests, then do your main story kind of guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Especially if the side quests build you up to take on the main quest.
Right. Well, at this point, I think I'm pretty good. It was interesting because when I started the area, the guys were a little bit, compared to what I had come from in Area 1, Area 2, these guys were like one more level above me or one little notch higher where, you know, a big swing of my weapon used to just, you know, insta-kill. Now it's like, boom, I got to hit them twice instead of once to get through it. And it kind of increased the further I went into that area. However, given all the side quests I've done and every little thing that I've, you know, upgraded and whatever else, that has now been brought back down to where, yeah, one swing and you're, you know, you're gone. I did investigate the zombie lake. That was fun. I'm in an area where they do... is it called necromancy in the I don't know if it's called necromancy in the game. Animancy, I think, is what it is.
Reanimation?
Yes.
Well, zombies, necromancy, reanimation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty much the same thing, yeah.
Basically, it's I'm in this area where they have lost a lot of people, but they have raised them from the dead to work the land, to slave labor, essentially. And there's this back and forth between different people who live there of I'm for it, I'm against it. You know, there's ethical reasons and there's non-ethical reasons and there's whatever else. And it's kind of fun to kind of be in the middle of that. It's also kind of fun to play sides to get what I need. Like, sure, I'll agree with you.
For a small fee.
Yeah, just give me what I wanted. All right, cool. Because a lot of this stuff you don't have to do anything with. Like, you can take a quest. Like, I've taken a quest of somebody, but a lot of the things are like, you don't have to do this. These are optional. You know, you can actually go and do this. I can actually go and turn the woman in, I think, or something like that for what she's doing. Or I can kind of do what she asked me to do. So there's different parts of it. But I'm enjoying it. I really, really am. I'm just it's just real slow going for me. But the tip that I read was that every time you go into a new area, do the main storyline of that area up until the point that you get your next companion for the journey. Mainly because they have unique dialogue options for a lot of the side quests in that area. And I realized in the first area, I didn't get that because I didn't pick my guy up until it was almost time for me to leave that area.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm almost halfway on that one with this new place that I'm in. Mm-hmm. So I need to go through the main story to get my next person to join my group and then go around and do more side quests. And then there. It's also nice because once I get to that point, I can also say, you know, I'm tired of the side quest. I think I'm done. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. You know, I can do it that way rather than have to, all right, I'm done with side quests. Let's do the main story and move on because then it's going to take a lot longer.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've enjoyed Avowed. I really have. So Avowed's in there. Assassin's Creed Mirage I played. I'm very early in that. Very, very early in that. And it's picking up. And I think Mirage is likely going to be something where I mainly stick to the main storyline. There are little bitty side things for you to do, but I think I'm just going to stick to the main story on this. Kind of knock it out because I do. I want to go back to Origins. I never finished, and I want to go back to Unity, which I never actually played. I own it, but I never actually played Unity. Mm. And then eventually, I'll get to Shadows at some point. So, but yeah, Mirage, Avowed, Marvel Snap. I played Schedule 1 for not very long. Not because I didn't like it, just because there's other things to play. Mm. So,
what genre of game is that?
It is, well, maybe there's two reasons for that. I'm not sure. I don't think it has controller support. It might. But I'm not sure, because I was using mouse and keyboard to play it. It's very low graphic type stuff. Like, the graphics are very, you're probably looking at it right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, exactly. The graphics ain't the best in the world, but it is overwhelmingly positive and has been the talk of the whatever for the longest time. Mm-hmm. Basically, you just selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So, I haven't gotten very far into it.
Mm-hmm.
The save states are rather long. In other words, I played the tutorial. And I went through and I was doing it, and it was like, hey, you need to plant your next weed seed before you can go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept screwing it up and not being able to make it happen. And eventually I ran out of material to be able to plant the seed, and the stores were closed. So it was just like, oh, I'm stuck. And when I tried to escape, and I was like, let's see if I can roll it back. The save was from the beginning of the game. I couldn't. There's no manual save. It's all auto save.
Oh.
At least in the tutorial part. I'm not saying it. In what I'm in currently, you need to do the objectives. Because once I was, because I went back and I did the whole thing, and once I was able to do it, your character goes to sleep, he wakes up, and then he leaves town and goes to another town afterwards. That, it saved. So I got to the new town, and I did all this stuff, and I got back to my... I did a whole bunch of stuff. Trying to learn this new town and find these things, drop points, and all this other stuff. And I'm doing exactly what it's telling me to do. So then it tells me to go back to my RV, which is where I stay. And I found a note attached to the RV telling me, like, you're in our territory now, blah, blah, blah. And so my next thing is like, hey, go get a room at the hotel, because they burned up my RV. They exploded my RV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, go get a hotel. The map tells me where the hotel is, and I'm walking around, but suddenly, like, I get a call from work. I got to do some stuff. I go to try and save, and it's like last save 20 minutes ago from when I entered the new town.
Yeah.
So I got to do it all over again because I can't save. I hate that. And this is an early access game, so maybe they'll implement it later.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it sounds like a heck of an oversight, but if it's in an early access...
It's thing, absolutely yeah, early access. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, I really haven't thought of the game too much. I'll probably get back to it at some point, but it's... Eh.
Yeah, so from what it looks like, it just looks like the stuff that you do in Grand Theft Auto Online, but on a more detailed micromanagement scale.
Yes, yeah. It does. It does give that vibe to it. And I was, but I'm curious because it's like massively positive. And so I was curious, like, all right, where's the fun? And granted, once I get past this tutorial thing, there might be some fun there, but so far I'm really just annoyed by the save state.
Yeah.
Now, once I get past the tutorial, can I save anywhere? Is it, can I save every time I go into my room, or every time I make a sale, or every time I enter a building? You know, how does it, I don't know how it all works, but, you know, we'll see. That's what you get when you get early access. So,
I like how the demo is like free sample.
Yeah. Which you can do, by the way, in the game. You can give people free samples.
Yeah.
And
that's how it works.
Then you trade contact information, then you get a call, and it's like, oh, okay, now we're doing business. Mm-hmm. So, and the other game I played, and one that I was looking forward to, is South of Midnight. Mm-hmm. That released on Tuesday on Game Pass, and that is where I've been playing it. I've been playing it on the console Game Pass, not on the PC Game Pass. And this is a massively linear.
More linear than 1886, The Order?
Yeah, you might be about the same on that.
Very straightforward.
Very straightforward. There are some sections like you can explore, but for the most part, they're not taking you off some kind of massive path. You know what I mean?
You're not varying off from the path.
You're not. Yeah. There's not necessarily alternate routes, but there are little, like a road, and you can always, I think with a click of the stick or something on your controller, it'll light a path for you to show you where you need to go. Okay. And obviously, you hit that, and it tells you where to go, so you go in some other direction. It's like, they want me to go this way, but let me go see what's over here.
Like Dead Space.
Kinda.
Yeah.
But you're not really going to run into enemies as much as you're going to run into maybe an upgrade of some kind, mm-hmm. or a note where you can read and get a little bit of a backstory about the area that you're in or the person you're looking for, whatever the case may be. You can have something like that going on with you. I mean, last chapter I played was chapter 7, was the first chapter that I'd found all the notes. There's 15 in there, and I found every single one of them. Mm-hmm. But there's really not a lot of exploration. There's also, honestly, not a lot of combat. There's a lot of platforming. There's a lot of trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B. Not through exploration, but just through, I can go through here and I can jump across. You know, that's just finding the path yourself. You may have the thing telling you where to go, but sometimes you've got to solve a puzzle to get there. Mm-hmm. Like moving a... in Chapter 7, I had to move a rail car from one end of the area to another end just so I could hop on top of it and then hop on something across a gap and mm-hmm. and move on with the level. So, the positives? Music's great. Visuals are really good. The stop-motion animation that they're going for mm-hmm. really, really works in the cutscenes. And gives it a sense of, well, stop-motion animation. Like, some of the characters' faces, even though none of this was done with stop-motion animation, but some of the characters' faces look like you can see where they either shaved some clay off, you know, kind of like how they, you know, thumbprints or fingerprints here and there, stuff like that, little smudges and little bitty things that you can see, little tiny details. And the fact that they crank the FPS down to the frames per second down to like 15 or 10 for the cinematics really help with that look of stop motion because it's got a very stilted look to it. Mm-hmm. But it's all meant to be that way. It's meant to be like you're watching a stop motion animated film of some sort during those scenes. But you can turn that off if you don't like it. You can actually turn that off. I have not tried to do that yet. But it is beautiful. It's got great music. The level design is... Yeah, I'm okay with the level design. There's beauty all over the place when you're playing it. But it's extremely straightforward. In fact, I am playing it on the easiest of easy difficulties. The one that says you just want to experience the story.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I'm playing it on. And we were talking about this last week. Like, how do you get upgrades or things like that? None of them are tied to killing a boss or any kind of combat. Mm-hmm. It's all tied into, they call them floofs. It's your upgrade currency.
Yeah.
So when you go off on these varied paths that aren't on the main path, you may find, you know, 5 or 10 of the floofs that you can add. And what that does, once you get a certain amount, you can unlock a new ability.
Yeah.
But it's not based on the fact that if you beat a boss, you get access to a new ability or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all story unlocked, and it's all unlocked through what you collect for the currency.
Yeah. So it's basically, like we said last time, it's just an interactive movie.
In a sense, sort of, yes. But there's way more interaction in this than there is movie. So I'm enjoying it. It's 14 chapters. I just wrapped up chapter 7 last night, I'll work on chapter 8 whenever I get back around to it. But it's all right. It's so far, it's okay. Like, I'm interested to see where the story goes. I've got some weird... I'm getting weird vibes from some of the characters that I'm talking to.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, like, I don't know if I trust you.
Yeah.
Not that I have a choice. The game doesn't give you the choice to trust or not trust. But when you're playing something and you're playing it as though it's a film or as though, you know, you're watching something unfold.
You expect something shady.
You're like,
he seems
a little tricky. Yeah. You know, I wonder if that's going to come back and bite me in the butt. So I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it delivers well. So far, it's really been very, very good. Also, some real serious themes in this thing with drug and alcohol abuse, and not just that, but child abuse. There's some real, real deep subjects in here that you deal with. And you're basically trying to help these characters deal with that trauma of what they went through, whether it be the alcohol or the child abuse or the other just really bad things.
Yeah. Trauma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very, very traumatic.
Trauma from various sources. Yeah, how to deal with it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I've enjoyed the game. I liken it to a Cajun Alice in Wonderland. Is kind of the vibe I get off of it. It's told in storybook form, which lends itself more to that whole Cajun Alice in Wonderland vibe. But if you got Game Pass, it's absolutely free, whether it be on PC or on console, so download it and give it a shot and see if you like it. It doesn't require a lot of you as far as solving puzzles or learning combat's not hard to get a hold of, you know, like to get the grasp of how combat works. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of combo type stuff to do. It's just you've got like 4 or 5 abilities that you can pull off that are on a cooldown, but every time you kill an enemy, that cooldown increases, you know. The combat is in sections. You know exactly when you're going into combat because you can see it's set up for the combat. You do have to go in to do the... Well, actually, you know what? There may be some where you don't have to do the combat. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think you do. I feel like I've done it just because I wanted the upgrade stuff that comes from it.
Yeah.
But there were... I think there was at least one where I thought, you know what? I may not have needed to do that.
Mm.
Like, it was optional to make that... To engage in that combat. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
You know, the way you describe South of Midnight... I think of American McGee's Alice, Madness Returns,
right.
Especially.
Yeah.
That one.
Was that the sequel?
Madness Returns, yeah, that was the sequel.
I don't think I played the sequel. I have it, but I don't think I played it.
Give it a shot and see if you compare, because it deals with trauma in that one as well. But I had a lot of fun playing that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not that I'm not having fun playing it. I absolutely am. In fact, I think the combat... Outside of the boss fights, because boss fights are story fights.
Yeah.
In other words, when you're doing a boss fight, it's because it's part of advancing the story. When you're doing the combat leading up to a boss fight, it's really not. It's really not advancing the story. It's helping you upgrade for that boss fight, but it's really not advancing the story.
Mm-hmm.
So... Now I've forgotten exactly where what my point was going to be on this. But anyway, combat's not bad to deal with. And if it's too hard to deal with, set it on easy.
Yeah.
And just go and experience the story. Oh, I remember what I wanted to say. The combat takes me out of the momentum. I'll be on a good momentum of going through this thing. It's like, oh, I got to stop and fight again. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like I was doing really well of like just moving along the path, going to the next thing, but now I got to do a fight. Yeah. Boss fights don't feel that way, but the combat that's interspersed without just feels like it slows me down.
Yeah.
Which is why I opted for the easy so I could get through it as quick as I could and move on.
As opposed to where I was talking about with Alice Madness Returns, I had a lot of fun with the combat elements of that game. It wasn't stopping momentum for me. I was actually enjoying what I was doing in the combat with the minor enemies and the bosses in the title. So,
well, yeah. You were talking about the trauma of Alice Madness Returns. We were talking about trauma of what South of Midnight
trauma
does.
South of Midnight, yeah.
Compulsion Games as a whole. Now, I did not play We Happy Few. I don't know what that was doing, but I did play Contrast. Mm-hmm. And that dealt with trauma as well.
Yeah.
I think the mother or the father got shot or something like that. I can't remember, mm-hmm. but... Yeah, there was a lot of heavy subjects in that as well.
Yeah, We Happy Few was some dystopian.
It was, right? But I never played it to understand like if there was any kind of underlying thing or what. I never played it.
Yeah, looking at the, I mean, something bad happened in that game. I know that.
Yeah,
from
because they're all taking happy pills.
Yeah,
literally taking happy pills.
Yeah, now let's see the withdrawal effects of not taking the.
And that's what happens if you don't take your happy pill. The police come after you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Anyway, we're behind. We got to take a break. That's what we played this week. When we come back, we'll jump into the news as well. And we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Music here from Metaphor ReFantazio. It's a battle theme. One of them, anyway. Here you go. We'll be right back. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. We're listening to music from a game called Neva. Same people that made Gree. The track is called King of Corrupted. Looks like a really beautiful game. Looking forward to being able to play it at some point. Waiting for the price to drop. So, yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's jump into the news. Here and I've kind of let's see. You know, we can do the what do I want to start with? I guess Switch 2. Let's go back into Switch 2 news. Boy, it's a lot too. The C button on the controller is a pay to use button. Nintendo has made its own Discord like chat app for the Switch 2, and it's going to charge you for it. Once the free period is over on March 31st of 2026, Game Chat and the C button that activates it will require a Nintendo Switch Online membership. I will tell you this. Getting a Nintendo Switch Online membership, if you have a Nintendo Switch, if the Switch is your main thing of play, you likely already have a Nintendo Switch online membership. If you don't, it's not bad. It's like $8 every 3 months. Yeah, it's quite, at least last time I looked at it, it's not that expensive at all compared to what you need for PlayStation and Xbox to have their online memberships. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not only that, you get those other games that come with it. Like, you get the classic Nintendo games, the classic Super Nintendo games, and I think you can upgrade to get classic N64 and now GameCube. They're adding to it as well. So it's actually a pretty good deal. The family plan's even better, because they don't even have to be in your family to be on it. So if you get a family plan with, like, I don't know how many people can be in it, but ever how many other people can be in it, and you all then just pay in a little bit, then everybody has, you know, access to what the family membership has. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to live in the same house to make that happen. So keep that in mind.
And this is the Nintendo Switch Online membership?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, pull it up and, yeah. $4 for a month, $8 for 3 month individual, $20 for 12 month individual, Nintendo Switch Online and expansion pack individual, $50. 12 month for family, $35. Nintendo Switch Online plus expansion pack for family, $80.
Yeah. US.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, that says the C button has that that game chat thing. So, you know, eventually you'll have to pay for that. It's under. I get it. It's fine. I don't. It's not a thing that bothers me. I'll tell you, because I don't yet know how often that's going to come into play. With a Nintendo Switch, well, let's just go with the Nintendo anything.
Mm-hmm.
Chatting with you and your friends playing the game has been they better be in the same house with you as you're playing, because that's the only way you're going to talk to them.
Yeah.
Unless you want to call them up on your phone and talk to them that way.
Or there's Discord on the phone.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. There's really...
I've seen that done before. Like little impromptu fighting game tournaments or whatever. We have Discord on the phone and just prop it up and just talk to each other that way. Something like that.
Absolutely. But that's Nintendo is never kind of where Nintendo's never really embraced online community. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They've really never done it. The friend code situation, which was ridiculous.
You were trying to do something with Animal Crossing. It was like a nightmare.
Animal Crossing. I think you could do Mario Kart with friend codes.
Yeah, but you were talking about Animal Crossing having to deal with that mess with the code and everything, like getting something from someone else. And they
Animal Crossing's bad because it's tied to your system.
Yeah,
and if you want to get that moved, it doesn't recognize the system. Like if I take the cart out, that is, you know, my game save is on the cart, but if I take the cart out and I put it into somebody else's Switch, it's not going to load up my content.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to load up my island. It's all tied to my console, which was annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this goes to Nintendo's lack of embracement to the online community type stuff, where they could make this a whole lot easier for you. But they've never really been good about it. The friend code thing was like a 16-string number thing.
Yep.
I always kept it on like my notepad on my phone just in case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're out at when I was going to conventions and things. You know, it's like, oh, let's exchange. We never did it, by the way. I would meet people who were playing, but we never took the time to be like, oh, hey, give me your friend code. I'll give you my friend code. Because it was just too long.
Yeah.
It's just a random string of numbers and letters. Like 16 of them. It was ridiculous. I think they've gotten better at it now. Well, they have, because I think with the Switch, they embrace the fact that you can now add friends. Well, maybe not. I don't know if they have friend code or not. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's been so long since I've used it to really remember how it works, but I don't know. They've not been good. My point being is that Nintendo and online have really not mixed for the longest time.
Screen name, easy to remember, send that.
Right. Send and that. I think that's where it's at now, but I don't know.
Mm.
And I would hate to tell you that, and then it's like, no, man, friend codes are still around. Ugh. We found out the tutorial game tour cost, welcome tour cost $10. They explain why it's not a free console pack-in, because they think it's worth, you know, the money that it's like, okay, sure. I'm not buying that.
I mean, of course you think it's worth it, because, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this one of those, sounds good on paper, but not in execution type deals, you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think, I was watching some people who had some hands-on with it, and mm-hmm. a lot of them were saying, like, man, that really should be part of the console experience, like, when you get it. It should not be something that you pay $10 for. Mm-hmm. Now, since it is something that you can pay $10 for, skip it. Skip it, wait for it, see if they back down and make it a pack-in or something like that. So, there's the Switch 2 pre-orders delayed in Canada, but I'm going to look at this, but I don't think it's going to give me the tariffs and that sort of thing. CBC Radio senior writer Jonathan Orr was told by Nintendo of Canada on Tuesday that Canadians will also have to sit out tomorrow's pre-order global extravaganza. The upcoming console's planned June 5th release date still hasn't changed. But the pre-orders for the Switch 2 in Canada would not start on April 9th like everybody else except for the United States and now Canada as well. What we don't have is any reason as to why. This commenter says, probably trying to solve the possibility of U.S. people driving up to Canada to smuggle Switches back over the border. Dude, they were doing that with eggs.
Yeah.
The people who lived up there, you know, would go across the border, buy their eggs, come back.
You ever get that dude that stole that truck of eggs?
I didn't know about a dude that stole a truck of eggs.
Yeah.
I don't actually blame him, though.
Yeah.
Especially if he was going to resell them on the planet. He'd make a killing. There you go.
Yeah, I think
There's your next game hook.
Yeah. I think it was in Philadelphia this happened. You know, I could just imagine some dude in a trench coat with a 12-pack of eggs and things.
Put that in one of your GTA Online sessions.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, it's a heist. What's the product? Eggs. exactly. Make that. I mean, you could take the concept of what Schedule One does and put it behind egg prices.
Yeah.
And you could do the same thing. Hey, man, I got an egg here. You want a free sample of this egg? It's really good. Ooh, give me some more of them eggs. Yeah, they're Canadian geese.
Mm-hmm.
Real good, Rich.
Yeah. Giving mods ideas. Yep.
Yeah, I know. We've all drug references are now just
eggs.
How many grams of egg do you want?
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do we have? Nintendo likely to stick with that 400. Oh, okay. This comes from Eurogamer. Last week saw Nintendo make the unprecedented decision to delay Switch 2 pre-orders in the United States just hours after announcing them, saying it was doing so in order to assess the potential impact of tariffs and evolving market conditions. More recently, Doug Bowser has admitted that while the Trump administration's earlier trade tariffs weren't a factor in determining Switch 2's price point, the latest wave of tariffs, which have heavily impacted countries where much of Nintendo's manufacturing is focused, create a challenge and are something the company is going to have to address. Some have speculated Nintendo might respond by raising the price of the Switch 2 in the U.S., despite the fact that the $450 price tag has already seen pushback from fans. However, an analyst by the name of David Cole, founder of game industry marketing research firm DFC Intelligence, has told Eurogamer his firm sees a change in price as unlikely at launch. I'm going to quote him here. We are expecting Nintendo to stick with the $450 price point, and we believe that price point was reached with the threat of tariffs already looming. However, in its initial Switch 2 guidance, DFC also suggests U.S. trade tariffs, which include a 24% levy on Japanese goods, could lead to a 20% price increase for the console over the next 2 years. As such, it's lowered its initial 2025 worldwide forecast for Switch 2 from 17 million to 15 million units sold. I think, what is the date on this article? Tell me. April the 8th, 9, 10, 11, 12. That was, I think, before he pulled back the tariffs or whatever. That's my problem now.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens on Monday doesn't stay the same by the time Friday rolls around.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of this stuff is even still in effect or something to worry about. I have no clue. And honestly, I just want Nintendo to throw a price out there, be done with it, and let pre-orders go. I don't care what it is anymore. Just put it out there. Be done with it. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of speculating. I'm tired of wondering when we're going to get a price or a pre-order date. I'm tired of reading articles that try and figure those things out as well. Do something. You know, it's that thing, poking the stick. Do something, Nintendo. Stop sitting around. Do something. Stick with the price. Say that's what it is. Open up pre-orders and be done. That's just me being aggravated.
Yeah.
Because honestly, that's not good business sense to do that. Yeah. You really need to find out what's going to happen before you do that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Business is going to business. So yeah.
What else do we have? More articles from Eurogamer here. Nintendo Switch 2. Nintendo has confirmed that Switch 2 editions of original first-party Switch games will have the full game on the card rather than requiring a download, though that may not be the case for third-party titles. Nintendo previously stated the console will support both regular game cards and game key cards. The key cards is a key to download the full game.
Yeah.
It's unclear at present which games will use which card type. However, further confusion specifically arose around Switch 2 Edition games and whether the card would include both the original game and the upgrade package. A Nintendo spokesperson said, "Physical versions of Nintendo Switch 2 Edition games will include the original Switch game and its upgrade pack all on the same game card, so there's no download for them." They also added, "Alternatively, some publishers may release Nintendo Switch 2 Edition games as download codes in physical packaging with no game card." That's to tell you things like third-party publishers may follow a different trend.
Mm-hmm.
First-party Nintendo titles, you'll get the games on the carts. No download required. We don't control third parties, and if they do it that way, they do it that way. So, that's fine. Let's see. This confirms the likes of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, and Super Mario Party Jamboree will be complete on the game card. Okay. All right. So there, we found that out. Good. Good to know. What is this one? The Switch 2 doesn't actually run original Switch games natively. Huh. One of the first things that we knew for absolute certain about the Switch successor was that it would be backwards compatible. At today's corporate management policy briefing, we announced the Nintendo Switch software will also be playable on the successor to Nintendo Switch. But while this means Switch 2 owners will still be able to play most of the games from the original Switch's library, this isn't possible because the two consoles are compatible at a hardware level, which would have been handy. Rather, it's all possible thanks to a workaround Nintendo has managed to implement. Nintendo's developer Q&A they had said the Switch 2 team always wanted the new system to play the original console games, but were told there'd be technical challenges. And so they found a workaround to make that happen. Basically, it's... I was going to say it's software emulators, but it doesn't seem like that's exactly what it is. Huh. But I can't get a hold on exactly what it is because they ruled out that it's emulation. Saying if they were to implement that, it would use up a lot of the resources, I think, on the Switch 2.
Mm-hmm.
But, so it's apparently not that. Okay. Here's more clarification, again from Eurogamer. God, it just keeps going. Breath of the Wild, which is on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
The Switch 2 edition of the Breath of the Wild will be on the card. The upgrades for the game will be on the card. But the paid DLC that you might have bought for it will not be there. I'm going to open this article to find out if you're going to have to pay for it again. Are we willing to take some bets before I get to the answer on this?
Yes.
The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is, to recap, one of six special Switch 2 editions, which are enhanced of those things. Each Switch 2 edition includes frame rate and resolution bumps, It's just convoluted enough to be a little confusing, and the fact Nintendo is selling its Switch 2 editions at a premium price compared to the originals has muddied the waters further. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild Expansion Pass DLC... is available as a separate purchase.
Given the fact that you have to pay $10 for a free demo, are you surprised?
Sort of. I am, actually, because you have paid for the DLC. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You paid for that.
Yeah.
So it should carry over with you.
Not according to Nintendo.
Well, so here's the thing. You're talking about Switch 2. So when I tell you the Switch 2, they got to come up with a better name, by the way. Calling it the Switch 2 edition doesn't, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But like Breath of the Wild Switch 2 version or something like that. I don't know. You have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you want the enhanced version of the game, you have to pay for the game to do that. If you want to just play the game you already own, you may still also have to pay for that. I'm not clear on this. I'm actually not sure on this. This is something I haven't thought about.
Mm.
If you, so, trying to find a way I can compare it. There are some Xbox original games.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Xbox 360 and regular Xbox games that if I have the disc, I can put them in my Series X. It'll say, oh, you're trying to play this. Here, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You have the disc. You put it in. Go ahead. Play it. Can I put my Breath of the Wild Switch 2 cart or Switch cart in my Switch 2 and still play it? Low frame rate or whatever, you know, at the basic Switch level.
Right.
Can I still play that? I'm not sure.
At this point, I doubt it.
I don't know yet. I haven't thought of that. I have thought of the Switch 2 edition games that they're selling, but I know that that you have to pay for so that you can get the upgraded graphics or the upgraded whatever.
What was that thing with Horizon Zero Dawn, that sequel? Wasn't there some special, like if you have the PS4 version, you can get the upgraded version for
$10?
What was that?
It was Breath of the Wild, or not Breath of the Wild.
Horizon.
It was Horizon Zero Dawn.
Forbidden West, I think. Forbidden West?
No, not Forbidden West. They did a remaster of Zero Dawn for PlayStation 5.
Okay, yeah.
And that was a $10 upgrade.
$10 upgrade.
Just like they did with one of the Uncharted games, or I think Last of Us.
Okay.
They also did it with Days Gone, except Days Gone required you to have the physical copy of the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a digital copy of the game, you don't get a $10 upgrade.
Yeah.
Which was weird that they did that, because up until that point, everything else had followed that rule.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of if you had digital or physical, it was only $10 to get the upgraded version. They stopped that with Days Gone. Yeah. So.
Yeah, see, I'm just trying to find a comparison of something like that for the upgrade.
Yeah, pardon my ignorance on this. I guess I either haven't paid attention or I haven't looked up answers to questions that are just hitting me in the head right now, which is, can I play my old Switch games on my Switch 2? Specific ones, maybe, or are they all available to do that? Or do I have to actually buy the key card or the key or the game? Well, I don't know. There's just so much. I wonder if I was... I feel like maybe I've just gotten too old to keep up with it all. I'm like, would this be as confusing if I was, you know, 10 years younger? 20 years younger? Figuring these things out, going through it, would it be as confusing? Because, I don't know. Where I'm not curious, more so makes you just feel like an old man who doesn't know. I really don't know.
Hey.
Like, kids listen to the show. Sure. God, get with it, Grandpa. You can play your Switch games on the Switch too. What am I looking at here? This is a Kotaku article that says, "Oh my God, what is Nintendo doing?" And there is no date on when this article. Well, it says it was published yesterday, so maybe this is new. Let's see. The Switch 2 should be a slam dunk. Bigger device, better build quality, more power, new games. But Nintendo can't seem to get out of its own way when it comes to rolling out the successor to what might eventually end up being the best-selling console of all time. And charging $90 for the complete version of Breath of the Wild is a perfect example. Nintendo announced that the game, a launch title on the original Switch back in 2017, will get an upgraded version for the Switch 2. Smoother frame rates, great resolution, HDR support, faster load times, and additional perks from the Zelda Notes mobile app, like daily stat bonuses, and a GPS for, like, an in-game map GPS. While the upgrade is free for Switch Online Expansion Pack subscribers, it'll be $10 for everyone else, making Zelda Breath of the Wild a $70 game on the Switch 2. But Nintendo recently confirmed to IGN that that version still won't include the game's Year 1 DLC, the Expansion Pass, which contains a harder difficulty mode, more gear, additional side quests, new story missions, and an honest-to-God motorcycle. It'll all still be locked behind an additional $20 upgrade. In other words, anyone coming to Breath of the Wild for the first time on Switch 2 are going to shell out $90 for the full experience. So, let's see. What else this goes on to say. In isolation, selling Breath of the Wild DLC separately on Switch 2 would warrant a "there goes Nintendo again" eye roll and nothing more. But it's the latest in a series of head-scratchers that keep killing the pre-launch vibe. Mario Kart World and Zelda Tears of the Kingdom are both $80, suggesting most upcoming top-tier first-party games will be as well. Nintendo Switch 2 Welcome Tour is a $10 download instead of a Wii Sports-like pack-in. Some physical games will only be cartridges with DRM keys on them. Game Chat, complete with its own dedicated controller button, will require a paid subscription after the first year, but it's just the Nintendo Online subscription. I really want to be clear that you're not paying something separate. If you have online subscription, you have access to Game Chat. That's it. So paying for Game Chat is going to get you a lot more. If that's what you're buying it for, where it's like, well, I better get a Nintendo Online subscription so I can have Game Chat. Oh, well, you're also going to get a bunch of other stuff to come with it. Mm-hmm. You know? I really want to be clear. A lot of people are saying that that's a thing, and I don't feel like that's as bad as the other things that they're... I mean, maybe if that was the only thing, I'd be crying foul. Mm-hmm. But given everything that's going on, that seems like a really small complaint compared to everything else that Nintendo's doing here. Then there's the wonky way Nintendo has handled all of the questions still surrounding the Switch 2. It didn't offer many direct answers when pressed about battery life, LCD versus OLED screens, or the lack of anti-drift Hall Effect joysticks at a recent press event in New York. It took over a week to clarify that Switch 2 editions of Metroid Prime 4 Beyond and other games will come with all of the data on the cartridge, and it still hasn't responded to confusion about physical games having a $10 price markup in Europe. And what about the $450 price? We recognize there are some people that may not be able to afford that price point, said Doug Bowser. That's why we wanted to make the other Switch platforms available. This article says it was a perfect echo of the tone deafness around Microsoft's rollout of the Xbox One when Don Matrick told people who didn't have a good internet connection to just buy a 360. So it was the 360 was that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, oh, you don't have a good internet connection? Just stick with the three. Go buy the 360 then. Yeah. None of this means the Switch 2 won't be great. On paper, it's everything fans have been asking for years. Mario Kart World and Donkey Kong Bonanza look incredible. If an ongoing trade war doesn't completely sabotage the launch in the U.S., early adopters may go hands-on with the Switch 2 on June 5th and instantly fall in love, forgetting all of the current noise and belly aching. But in the meantime, that's all we got. That's all we've got to talk about is just because they... Yeah. This goes back to like, man, I just wish they'd get it done with. Tired of hearing about it. Tired of running into people asking me about it. And I was like, man, I know it's bad, but I can't. Because the only reason is that I got no information, you know? They haven't said anything, so I have nothing to tell you. And if you've heard anything, if you've heard something about like, well, the pre-orders are going to start, so And I read this, and I had some people mention it to me. They're like, the Nintendo FAQ on their site says that pre-orders will happen sometime in May. But as I understand, or I don't know if it was pre-orders or something is supposed to happen in May. As I understand it, it's just the fact that the FAQ hasn't been updated. They never updated the FAQ, which means that it's still not actually happening. I feel like when it does, we'll have a bunch of articles telling us that, hey, Nintendo has finally solidified a price and a pre-order date. I would have 15 articles in my news aggregator here,
yeah,
all saying everything there. And so far, that just hasn't happened. So I'm waiting for it. When it does, obviously, we'll tell you. But we got to take another break. When we come back, I've got news about video game, TV, and film projects. We got news. We got other news that we're just not going to get to. The BAFTA Awards for games. Yeah. So, anyway, we'll pick and choose what we're going to talk about when we come back in just a moment. Here's music from the Trials of Mana remake. Mana? Yeah, Trials of Mana. There was a remake for that, so here's music for it. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back into In-Game Chat for music from Kind Words 2. The name of that track is called Sunlit. Alright, what do we got in the miscellaneous game? You know, I haven't looked at the chat room. What do we got here? Oh, goodness. We have a lot there. Every year, a semi of syrup gets swiped in Canada. Yeah, I remember that. They had a maple heist type thing. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I thought it was like exaggerated, but yeah, syrup, maple syrup in particular in Canada is serious business, man. Folks get, farms raided, people getting shot. I mean, it gets real in Canada over maple syrup, man.
Oh, it does.
Yeah,
I had my first like pure maple syrup a couple months back.
Sugar shot.
Absolutely not. It's okay. Actually less sweet than you would think,
mm-hmm,
compared to what you buy in a store that's all, you know, whatever. But to get the pure maple, like, that's it. That's all that, like, if you look in the ingredients, it's just like, that's it. Maple syrup. That's all that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not any kind of preservatives, not any kind of flavoring or coloring or anything else. Just pure maple syrup. It's not as sweet as you think.
Okay. I'll have to give it a shot then.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
And it's kind of pricey, and especially now.
Yeah.
Especially now, but it's pretty good.
Okay.
Anyway, getting back to the show here, we have television and film news. They're already discussing the sequel to the Minecraft movie, which has been doing exceptionally well. For a trailer that looked like crap,
mm-hmm,
that movie has done massively well. I hope that doesn't mean they're just going to usher in more video game crap, but just to know that, hey, you know, video game movies can have a place. If, I suppose, done right. But then again, it's Minecraft.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I've been noticing about movies lately is just they're all being compared to Snow White in terms of a draw. That's all anyone's really doing lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the first thing they talked about was A Working Man with Jason Statham.
Yeah.
They said, yeah, this movie should have gone straight to video, and it's outperforming Snow White in the theater, so yeah.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Let's see, Last of Us is getting a third season on HBO. I think they're splitting. In other words, I think, by the way, the next season of Last of Us starts tomorrow night on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're, which, you know, the first season was based on the first game. The second season's based on the second game. But I think they're splitting that up.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first season will, or the second season will be based on, like, the first half of the second game. And then the third season will cover the next half.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you've played the game. Did you play it?
No.
Okay. There's a point in the game where, and we talked about it, and I don't think I'm revealing any spoiler here, but there's a point in the game where you go from playing the protagonist to playing the antagonist.
Is there a time skip in between?
Yes. And I don't mean a time skip into the future. What I mean is the time skip goes back. In other words, you're playing as Ellie. Is it Ellie? I think it's Ellie.
Ellie. Ellie's the protagonist. What's the other girl's name? Anna?
Abby.
Abby. That's right. Thank you. Abby.
So you're playing as Ellie through whatever, and then there comes a point where Ellie and Abby meet. And at that point, they give you kind of a cliffhanger. And then the game jumps back to Abby's point of view from earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you play with, you know, through her eyes from there up until that point at the game where the two meet.
Mm-hmm.
And then it jumps back to Ellie again, and then whatever. So my point being is that I think they'll split it up where, you know, everything plays through, and then the next season will be maybe from Abby's point of view to a point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long they'll drag it out. What'll be interesting is if when they're done covering the second game, do they get another season? And what do they do if they do?
Are they going to have to come up with original stories based on it?
Right.
Really.
So, I don't know.
Because if there's nothing else to cover, I mean,
well, there's no other game to pull from, you know? And I don't know if...
Except DLC.
But is that
enough to make a...
There was no DLC for the second game, I don't think.
No, I'm talking about from the first game.
The first game had DLC, but I don't think they would go back to that.
Yeah. Not enough in it to make...
No, it was very short, very small. So I don't think they would go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
If
they did, they'd have to make a bunch of original stories based off the Last of Us universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anything, I think they could pull off other seasons, doing like what you're doing, taking other characters and finding different paths for them to explore what they do. And who knows? I don't know if Druckmann has any. I know that Neil Druckmann has involvement with the project. And I know a lot of it's based on what he has written. And I'm sure he works on scripts and everything else with the television show.
Mm-hmm.
It might be interesting for him to be able to write that specifically for the show and realize one is easier to do than the other. I don't know if it is or not. I have no idea. I've never written for a video game.
Yeah.
Or a television series or anything like that, so I don't know. What else do we have? Ooh, Devil May Cry on Netflix. They're getting a second season. That's a good show, by the way. I've been watching that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched any of it?
Mm-mm.
Man, I don't know. Do you have Netflix?
I have Netflix. Yeah.
All right, man.
It's just something I just barely go to.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Jump into it, though. It's a lot of fun.
Is a full season on there? How many episodes?
Eight or nine, maybe something like that.
Eight, yeah, okay.
Maybe it's either 8 or 10, but you're exactly right on there. They're 30 minutes, almost to the dot, 30 minutes each. Really good. The first episode. They don't call him by name. They're going around rounding up demon hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a specific dude with a specific accent, with specific colored hair, and a specific outfit that he wears.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they never name him.
The obvious.
By name, as Constantine, but he has that look. And I was like, what? There's Constantine in my DMC. They also reference Mega Man. They reference Dance Dance Revolution. They reference Raccoon City. Oh, God, what else did they reference? I mean, it's not just Capcom games, though. I mean, yes, Capcom is where they're getting most of it out of. But they reference a lot of different stuff here. It's really kind of cool to have sort of a, I don't know, Capcom Cinematic Universe or something. I'm not sure, but it's really, really good with the way that they're handling it. And it's a great show. Really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Very, very much enjoyed Devil May Cry on Netflix. So, and we got news that the Tomb Raider series that Amazon was going to do seems to be like it's probably dead. It was not an animated series. It was going to be a live-action thing, but it doesn't look like it's going to go very far. So, the Tomb Raider anime that's on Netflix, I have not watched. I have it, but I have not watched it yet to see how that goes. But Devil May Cry, man, is good. It's real good. Give it a watch. What else do we have? The Game Awards, the BAFTA Game Awards. I'll give you one guess as to who Game of the Year was.
Your favorite?
Astrobot.
Yep.
Of course, it's Astrobot. Best Animation was Astrobot. Audio Achievement was Astrobot. Best Family Game was Astrobot. Best Game Design was Astrobot. Best Game was Astrobot.
I was expecting it to be something different because it's one of the things that don't make sense. You won six categories, but the one that matters is something else.
Balatro got Best Debut Game.
Hmm.
Neva, which we played music from, got Artistic Achievement.
Hmm.
Vampire Survivors got Best Evolving Game.
Hmm.
Helldivers 2 got Multiplayer and Music. Hellblade 2 got Technical Achievement.
Hmm.
Yeah. What else do we have? Well, the checking my watch to see what I got time for. The Xbox Summer Showcase is taking place on June 8th. It's a Sunday time slot there for you, so you know the usual thing when we're getting our Xbox air quotes E3 presentation, since it's not E3 anymore. Afterwards, there will be a Outer Worlds 2 direct live stream. So expect that to be featured heavily in the... Actually, maybe it won't. Because if they're going to give a 30-minute direct for Outer Worlds 2, they may not mention it much in the main showcase. But it'll be interesting to see what they have to show off in that main showcase. And that was June, did I say?
June 8th.
June 8th. 3 days after the launch of the Nintendo Switch 2. So, we got a leak of the next Mafia game's release date. And it looks like... Oh, it was via a Steam update that was put live and then hastily undone when someone realized they'd actually accidentally done something that they shouldn't have. But it looks like it's going to be in... Was it August? Yeah, it was sometime in August as to when that was going to get released. But they're doing a huge reveal May 8th at PAX East in Boston. So, yeah. The thing that I can't go over and the thing that I want to go over is the Triple I Spring Showcase. It was an indie showcase, but there were 36 games announced. I got 6 minutes at best to go over those, and it just ain't enough time to do it. Now, I don't know if it was mentioned here, but I did get an email from a Tiny Build guys. They're, I don't know if it's later this year or if it's next year we're getting a Speedrunners 2. I was wondering about that, because I was like, man, Speedrunner's been around for a while. They haven't done anything. They've made, like, Hello Neighbors, like Five Nights at Freddy's at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a massive amount of games for those things. But they haven't gone back to Speedrunners, which is where I first fell in love with not only the developer, well, the publisher of Tiny Build, but just all the games that they like to publish.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see. I think there's a little trailer with some gameplay. It looks really good. It's just kind of updated the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there probably may be some more like power-ups and things like that. I don't know yet, but I'm happy to see that it's there.
Was the Falcon there? Or what you like to call him, Chicken Man.
Chicken Man! I don't know. I didn't see him.
Hmm.
But I also wasn't looking for him. I was just looking at what we had going on. Yeah. And I don't remember many of the characters. And I could look it up. Speedrunners, too. If I could type. There we go. Speedrunners 2. It's getting a 2025 release. On PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. And then Nintendo Switch editions follow in 2026.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we had a ball with that game. Like, after the show in studio one night.
I know. We would always... Because I would have to edit video, but then we would always stream here.
Yeah.
That was because the internet was good here. And bad at home. But now it's fine. They can do it here and, or I can do it at home. The game was announced during the III Initiative Indie Game Showcase. Tiny Build hasn't said when in 2025 Speedrunners 2 will be released, but players can wishlist the game on Steam for more info. Let's go to that Steam page and see if there's some screenshots here that may show me Chicken Man. Well, the characters they show off so far looks to be the same in every single screen, and none of them are Chicken Man. In fact, the ones we have are the black costume guy with the blue eyes with the big fin on the top.
The default.
Yeah, yeah. Him.
I cannot remember his name.
I don't remember either.
I'm trying to remember anybody's name.
Call him Speedy. Really. Then there's the unicorn person with the unicorn thing on the top of their head.
Yeah.
And then there's the fire mask dude, fire guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's on there too. I don't see Chicken Man. I'm so sorry. I was hoping for Chicken Man. So anyway. All right. Well, we're done. That's it. The reason I'm closing so early is because our next piece of music comes from Astrobot. It's the God of War theme mixed in with Astrobot. You guys have a fantastic week. Thank you so much for watching and joining us. Dave, I hope the rest of your day off goes well. Thanks for spending it with us. We do appreciate it, especially all my complaining about Nintendo stuff. Anyway, everybody take care. Thank you so much for coming. We'll be back next week. Here's Bot of War. See you next Saturday.